Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and harvest is coming along at a rapid rate. Andy Eubank joins us once again with an update.
Thanks, CJ. In Indiana, the most recent progress update has 29% of the corn acres harvested and 36% of soybeans completed. Both numbers exceed the five-year averages. In a Channel Seeds harvest update, Kate Gorski, field sales representative for Channel in Northwest Indiana, says there has been even more progress in the days since the Monday USDA update.
Soybeans are up to about 45 to 50% in Northwest Indiana. The past 10 days have been excellent conditions for running, and we didn't get much of the rain from the last hurricane, so we were definitely not out of the fields longer like some of the other folks in Northern Indiana. Corn is around 30%, I would say, in the area too. Some guys are getting done with soybean harvest and switching over to corn pretty quickly.
Every year, yield is dependent on planting dates and conditions and rainfall throughout the season. Variable conditions this year have led to varying harvest results.
We didn't have great planting conditions, and that shows in some of the crop. Corn is definitely starting to show a really good top end, and then gets into the variables depending on that rainfall in the area that you're located. Same with soybeans. Good top end yields and pleased with the crop that's coming out with the limited rainfall that's in August and September that was going to be able to finish that grain fill out.
Gorski confirms this 2024 crop in Northwest Indiana has dried quickly.
A lot of things are way more dry than you ever would expect. A lot of guys have been getting into some beans that are 9%. Corn is also, depending on where you're located, if you sprayed fungicide, if you have tar spot, corn is definitely drier than many of the years past.
Hear more in the Full Hat and Channel Seeds growing season update at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
USDA is working to help farmers impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton across Florida and the southeastern U.S. Sabrina Halverson has more.
It's just been heartbreaking.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke with me about the USDA's efforts.
I was with the president in Florida and Georgia talking to those who have lost their homes and farms. Very, very difficult time.
For farmers, ranchers, and other producers, the focus is on getting disaster assistance processed as quickly as possible.
We have what are called surge teams. These are additional people that come in from a state that's not been impacted by the storms to help supplement staff in these offices. We also are moving people in the state that are coming from counties that weren't impacted by the storm. So it's a combination of out-of-state and in-state folks basically going to where the need is.
Secretary Vilsack acknowledged the significant challenges facing agricultural communities.
Over 8,000 federal employees that are currently working on this disaster assistance effort right now in a variety of ways.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
A legal victory for both the pork and beef industries after more than a dozen environmental activist groups had challenged the EPA to put tighter regulations on large livestock farms when it comes to the disposal of animal waste.
This case was one of those interesting situations where the industry groups agreed with the EPA that, yeah, we don't need to open up this rule again, and EPA got a win today, and we're glad. So it's an odd situation to be in, but there it is.
And that's Josh Trenary, Executive Director of Indiana Pork. Back in 2017, those activist groups petitioned the EPA to change its rules on how concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs for short, get rid of their manure. Those activists claim that the manure from many hog and cattle farms are finding their ways into our waterways.
EPA had initially denied those, but they didn't take no action. I mean, they did agree to put together an advisory committee to look at the issue and to consider what revisions might make sense for effluent limitation guidelines for CAFOs. So they weren't doing the full-on review that the activist groups wanted, but they were doing something. And so, you know, that committee process is ongoing, and we're certainly in favor of that type of review too, but the activist groups weren't.
Last year, the groups decided to sue the EPA. However, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco last week ruled against the activist and said the EPA did the right thing by setting up an advisory committee first to take its time and study the issue before changing its regulations. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, helping to feed those in need is the goal of a nonprofit organization and its farm called the Teeter Retreat, an organic farm near Noblesville in Hamilton County.
This year, we will donate 50,000 servings to the Hamilton County Harvest Food Bank and area meal programs and families in need. And we are targeting 100,000 donations a year.
And that's Katie Rogers, director of Teeter Retreat, an organic farm. She says the 117-acre farm has a very unique story.
Teeter was given to Noblesville First United Methodist Church by Ruth Teeter in 1981. In 2016, after developing out a retreat center, one of the pastors at the church went to the Pacific Northwest on a trip, and he went to some not-for-profit farms that were growing food to feed the hungry in their community, came back inspired and got people on board, and they decided to start an organic farm that would donate food to the Hamilton County Harvest Food Bank and take care of our neighbors.
She says the main goal of the farm is to produce organically grown vegetables, fruits, eggs, and honey to help feed more than 32,000 food insecure people in Hamilton County. All of the food that is planted and harvested is done through the help of more than 100 volunteers. She hopes the story of Ruth Teeter's generous gift serves as an inspiration to others.
Not-for-profits and churches and large landholders often can use just a small portion of what they have to have a significant impact in their community. And I want to encourage people to investigate that and to consider maybe part of your legacy is tithing part of your land into a land trust or to new farmers or to an organization that's going to do something to have a legacy impact in your community.
Read more about Teeter Retreat and Organic Farm at HoosierAgToday.com. Coming up, you'll hear from Orange County farmer C.J. Fleener, whose quick thinking and action saved both his life and his daughter's life during a combine fire. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
The Midwest has to lead on sustainable aviation fuel for the factors, you know, the reasons you mentioned, right? So we've got clearly world-class farmers and agriculture community that have just shown the ability year in, year out to innovate and to raise yields. And so the building blocks, the feedstock sources are here. You have the ethanol community that is centered in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, within the Corn Belt. But you also have proximity to the largest airline hubs in the world. You know, these airports that sit either in or on the periphery of the Midwest. And this is a good place to do business with universities and a business community that have shown the ability to rise to that challenge. And so we're excited, but we also need the Midwest to lead in this space.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.